Good morning, everyone.
So is everyone excited that there's a Stanley Cup playoff tonight? I hear. You all are rooting for the Penguins, right? If not, that's the door right there. May the peace of Christ be with you. Please pass the peace of Christ to your neighbor.
I would ask that you return to your seats as we move forward with our service. This is the time that I would like to welcome all in attendance this morning, and especially any visitors. I am looking around. I don't see any. However, if we do have visitors and you would like more information about our church, please see any of our ushers, or if you so desire, we have a welcome packet of information immediately outside the double doors hanging on the shepherd's crook. Also, a reminder for those in attendance, please sign the registration form in the red folders and pass it to others in your pew, bringing it back to the center aisle. Also, if you have a prayer request this morning, you'll find 3x5 index cards in those red holders. If you have a prayer, please complete that card and put it in a clear holder, and the ushers will bring it forward to Chris this morning. We do have several announcements, but we're going to lead off with our music director, Diane Runzer.
Morning. In your announcements, you'll see several things having to do with our pastoral change coming up on the first Sunday of July. And in preparation for that, the witness committee would like all of you in the month of July to wear a name tag. They're about this big. They're on a rope around your neck so you don't have to pin on anything. And right now, these name tags are in the stand just to the right of the door to the parking lot. You have to pull out a drawer to find them. I think they're in alphabetical order. If you look in there and your name is not there, we ask you to take one of the cards that should be there somewhere and a pen and write your name on it, big enough that someone would be able to see it, and put it back in so that you can use it each week. And what we'll do is, after you've gone through the line with our new pastor, and he's made note of your name and your face for the month of July, there'll be a basket there that you can take the name tag and just drop it in the basket, and we'll have someone come in and put them back in alphabetical order in the container before the next week's service. So if you would check on that, you've got a couple more weeks to look. That would be great. Next, I would like to thank those of you who have ordered directories. We have directory orders of about 75 right now. Unfortunately, we need 200 to make our price. So if you have not yet ordered your directory, please look for the forms out on the table in the narthex. Or if you want, take a pew envelope and write on it directory and put your $10 in there. Put your name and address and phone number and how many directories you want. That would be great. So if you don't want to get the form, that's the information that we need. We would like to have these ready for the beginning of July, but it depends on how many orders we get. So if you want to order perhaps for family members who are away at school or anybody that had their picture taken at Christmas time, please make those orders. And if you have not yet submitted a picture and you would like to have it submitted, if you would send a digital copy if possible or to the church's email and it'll get to me, or you can put a regular picture. It doesn't have to be fancy. Just a snapshot is fine so we can see your face and put it in the office and we'll get it and edit it for the directory. So we thank you for your help in this matter. Thank you.
Thank you, Diane. And coming forward is Pat. We have been graced with her hubby, Jack, for the last several weeks, but as you can see, his beautiful better half is going to give us some announcements on the work trip.
Good morning.
I would like to thank this congregation wholeheartedly for the support that has been shown for this year's mission work trip down to Heart and Hand in Philippi, West Virginia. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your monetary donations. Out in the narthex, Jack had corrected some figures. He had initially estimated that it was going to cost around $4,500 to do this project. And after he submitted the work list, the material list, down to Heart and Hand, we got the estimate on Thursday. And it came in around $700 less than what we had initially anticipated, around $3,800. And right now we have over $4,000 that has been submitted for the work trip. So everything is real good for materials to do the project. Any additional monies that come in are going to help supplement what the team going down, what they have to pay. There's not too much I can do for the cost of the dorm. That is a set price. But for food, we have been, I guess you'd say, my freezer is getting full. A ham, a turkey, biscuits and gravy, meatballs, a lasagna, ham barbecue, and I believe some teens are going to be invading Sarah's house on the Saturday before we leave, and they're going to be making pies. So the prepared food has just been overwhelming. I'm sorry to say that the non-perishable food bags between the Saturday night service and the first service, I have no bags for any of you to donate. So thank you very much. I do have a sign-up sheet in the narthex for six bakers who want to donate some goodies for the crew, for mainly for lunch. And I believe I already have five bakers signed up, so thank you for that. We had asked for some furniture, a twin bed that has been donated, a utility trailer to haul furniture that has been donated. We're also taking down a full bedroom set if the family needs. Otherwise, it'll go to Heart and Hands thrift store. There are some gifts that have been donated for the children. At present, I have 24 adults and eight teenagers going on the work trip. So we have a full complement of people to do this project. As Jack always says, he feels that the right people are there to do the task that is needed. Would like continued prayers for the Pitzer family, Jason, Nicole, Jaden, who is six, and Juliana, who is 15 months. For safe traveling mercies to and from the work site, to and from West Virginia, and that we have a safe work site, that there are no injuries in doing this project. So thank you very much for everything.
Thank you, Pat and Jack, certainly for spearheading this upwards of 20 years plus. It's a wonderful outreach mission that this church family has come together and supported every year, and it's very exciting to hear that all the needs, once again, have been met, and that's just a great feeling, and God is good. Godspeed to you and the work trip. And just a final reminder to please take a look at your other announcements. In today's bulletin, next Sunday will be Reverend Lake's last Sunday here. The Lake family will be moving on to their next placement. There will be receptions following both services, I imagine probably all three, Saturdays and the morning and the eve, our worship service here. So please plan on staying for a few minutes at least after worship next Sunday to say your goodbyes to Reverend Lake and Leanna and the family for their wonderful service here at First Church. I would now ask that we turn our hearts and minds to our worship. I would ask that you please rise and follow along in your bulletin under the heading of Call to Worship, reciting your response. God of new beginnings, give us eyes to see your gifts. Please remain standing for our opening prayer printed in your bulletin. Join me now. O God, make the door of this house wide enough to receive all who need human love and fellowship, narrow enough to shut out envy, pride, and strife. Make its threshold smooth enough to be no stumbling block to children, nor to stray feet, but rugged enough to turn back evil's power. God, make the door of this house the gateway to your eternal kingdom. And please remain standing now for our hymn of praise number 577 in your red hymnal.
Seated. Hi, how are you? You doing good? Hi, how are you guys doing today? Doing good? Not so sure. Okay. Well, let me ask you something. A lot of times your moms and dads tell you to do things, right? Do you always listen to them? Be honest now. Do you always do everything that they tell you? My guess is that if I asked your parents, they'll say, no, you don't. And, you know, we're all like that. It's not just you guys that are young kids that don't follow the rules, but sometimes us adults don't follow the rules either. And it's real interesting to note that no matter whether you follow the rules or not, your parents
love you. It doesn't matter whether you listened. Doesn't matter if you ignored them. They still love you, don't they? They still take care of you. They still protect you. They still make sure that you're safe. And they continue teaching you, right? Well, you know, that's a lot like God's love. Because as adults, unfortunately, we do a lot of the same things. We don't listen a lot. We tend to want to do things our own ways. But it's such a joy that God, through his Son Jesus Christ, loves us so much that no matter how far that we stray, he still loves us and he wants to pull us back. And he wants us to be saved. Isn't that a great thing, to be saved? To feel the love of your parents no matter what you do, even when you're being bad? Right? I'm sure Grandma loves you, right? And your mother does. There, my grandfather used to tell me something. He used to tell me, "Chris, I love you, but I don't like you right now." And that's true. You know, God doesn't like some of the things that we do when we don't listen to him. And he would rather we didn't do those things. He would rather that we listened, but no matter what, he still loves us, and he's always going to love us. So why don't we bow in prayer? Dear God, help us to realize that even when we've gone astray, even when we don't listen to our parents, help us realize that they still love us. And that's the same way that God still loves us when we stray. And always keep it in our hearts and our minds that he loves us so much and that his love is the greatest power of all. Amen.
Good morning. It is my honor this morning to share a song that was written by Florine Mance, a longtime member of this congregation. She's gone on to glory, as you know. And may her witness and her words of assurance minister to your spirits this morning through this song.
Quick moment.
my Jesus. There before me lies a river, such deep waters I see. Someone stands there softly calling, and he beckons to me. Then he smiles, and I know, as the dark shadows go, he'll go with me through the valley, my Jesus.
Thank you, Deb. I do believe that Florine is smiling down from the heavenly gates. I would now ask you to take heed of our scripture reading this morning. This is a letter that Paul wrote to the Galatians, and he is talking to Cephas. And if you recall, Cephas is an Aramaic word that means rock, and this was the name that Jesus gave to the apostle Peter as the rock. So these are Paul's words to Cephas, and I have to, truth be told, I read this, I was telling Chris this morning, several times in several different versions. So at the end of the passage, if I still look befuddled with these words, it's because I am. And Chris assures me that we're going to clear that up, though, in his reading from, I believe, Luke. So hear these words from Paul to the Galatians chapter 2, starting with verse 15. We ourselves, who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, yet who know what a man is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law shall no one be justified. But if, in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we ourselves were found to be sinners, is Christ then an agent of sin? Certainly not. But if I build up again those things which I tore down, then I prove myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, died to the law, that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if justification were through the law, then Christ died to no purpose. And here ends Paul's words. At this time, I would ask our ushers to come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offering.
Thank you.
Most Holy God, we are grateful for the wonderful healing that you bring through Christ your Son. He teaches us to view ourselves and others with hope, knowing all of this we learn through you. Accept our gifts and offerings to bless our neighbors through the caring ministries of our church. In the name of our risen Savior, amen.
Or concerns that they'd wish to lift up. Well, I have a couple that have been handed on to me. We're going to start off with a joy, and that's Donna. Stand up. Happy 45th anniversary to Donna and John. We also have a prayer request for Sharon, who is Kim's sister-in-law. She had a heart attack last Sunday, so prayers for healing. Prayers for the Rudy family and staff on the loss of their daycare center due to a fire. That was the one that happened up by Hartford Heights Fire Department recently. We also have blessings to Lori on her birthday today. Is Lori here? Stand up, Lori. Wave high. Happy birthday. 29? Yeah, 29. Someone brought this up earlier today, and I am not sure on all of the details about it, but either early today or sometime yesterday, there was a shooting in Orlando, Florida. With right now, the total that I was given is 50 dead and 53 wounded. So we need to keep these people in our prayers and their families in our prayers. I also have one other joy and maybe a little bit of a concern, but I think it's one that maybe a lot of us share here today, and that's the hockey game tonight. Stanley Cup. So we need to keep the Pens in our prayers so that they could win. And although that seems kind of trivial to you, I find it interesting. Someone brought up at the contemporary service the other night that the last time that the Penguins won the Stanley Cup was in 2009, which was right after the shooting of three Pittsburgh police officers. So the winning of the Stanley Cup was able to help uplift the city and bring them out of that fear and that that sadness over the officers. So who knows what God is going to use to minister to his people. So I don't see a problem with praying that the Penguins win tonight. Are there any other joys or concerns? And Pirates... True. I do have a kind of a personal joy, but it's one that most of you share, especially if you know them. And I mentioned this a few weeks ago at a contemporary service, but I didn't preach the following Sunday here, so I didn't get to share it with the rest of you. And I'm sure that you have noticed over the past few weeks that Jack and Pat have been asking for help with the missions trips, for volunteers, for funds, for supplies and stuff like that. But, you know, it's such a joy and a blessing to this church that we have people like Jack and Pat to run this. And Jack has always been very involved in the church and doing things. And, you know, I can remember Jack from the earliest I remember Jack is when I was 16 and I decided I wanted to sing in the choir, and Jack sang in the choir with us, and I was able to learn a lot from Jack, and I still, you know, it seems like every time I talk to him I learn something new or something that helps me along the way.
Just a wonderful God-filled person. So that's my joy, is that we have Jack and Pat with us. If there are no other joys or concerns, we're going to continue to prepare ourselves for prayer with our prayer hymn, which is He Touched Me, 367. And remember that the chancel rail is always open. Dear Lord, we gather here today to worship and praise your holy name. Yet as we gather, we bring with us many things, some of them celebrations and joys, some of them concerns and trials. We lift them all up to you, the healer of all. We also come with things that we don't share or lift up, things that maybe we're afraid of what would happen if someone else knew, things that we just don't understand. Yet, when we keep those inside, you still know exactly what it is that we need, and you still provide it, whether we realize it or not. We pray for those people that serve us in our daily lives, that maybe we don't see all the time, but are always there for us, the hospital staffs, the ambulance workers, the firefighters, the police officers, and the soldiers. Keep them safe. Bring them home each night to those that love them. Yet, if it is your will that they be called home, be there to take their hand and guide them there safely into your loving embrace. We pray for this time of transition, not only for us, but also for the pastors, for Dave, who is leaving, and for Bruce, who is coming. Transition is usually a time that is difficult for everyone involved, but sometimes we don't look past how it affects us. We need to keep Dave and Bruce in our prayers, and we need to lift them up, and that God can bring them through this transition peacefully and joyfully, so that they and all of us can serve God to his greater glory. We pray all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." If you'd like to follow along in your pew Bible, today's scripture reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. Now, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to eat with him. So he went to the Pharisee's home and took his place at the table. There was a woman who was a notorious sinner in that city. When she learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's home, she took an alabaster jar of perfume and knelt at his feet behind him. She was crying and began to wash his feet with her tears and dry them with her hair. Then she kissed his feet over and over again, anointing them constantly with the perfume. Now the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this and told himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who was touching him and what kind of woman she is. She is a sinner." Jesus told him, "Simon, I have something to ask you." "Teacher," he replied, "ask it." "Two men were in debt to a moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii, and the other owed him 50. When they couldn't pay it back, he generously canceled the debts for both of them. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon answered, "I suppose the one who had the larger debt canceled." Jesus told him, "You have answered correctly." Then turning to the woman, he told Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You didn't give me any water for my feet, but this woman has washed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You didn't give me a kiss, but this woman, from the moment I came in, has not stopped kissing my feet.
You didn't anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with perfume. So I'm telling you that her sins, as many as they are, have been forgiven. And that's why she has shown such great love. But the one whom little is forgiven loves little. Then Jesus told the woman, "Your sins are forgiven." Those who were at the table with them began to say among themselves, "Who is this man who even forgives sin?" But Jesus told the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This is the word of the Lord. Well, I do have one more joy that I wanted to share, but since it was part of the sermon, I decided to wait until now. This week, I was able to finish my garden. I know that's not really a major milestone, but it's one that left me feeling happy and accomplished. I have a 20, 25 foot by 50 foot garden, and once done, it just felt great. But the feeling was short-lived as I went about setting up the sprinkler system. Try as I might, I just could not get water to all of the garden. Now, let me tell you, the garden is up on a hill, so I automatically lose water pressure going up the hill. I could add more hose lines, but that only decreased the pressure even more, creating more gaps. I tried and I tried, but even the best solution was just not coming to me, and it left some of the plants untouched by the water. There was no simple way to just turn on the hose and walk away while getting water to all of the plants. As I sat watching the one spinning sprinkler going around dispersing the water, I noted that it wasn't reaching one corner. Strangely, my thoughts turned to our scripture readings for today. The sprinkler reminded me of the law. In this case, the religious law that was present in the early church. In Galatians, we find Paul discussing the merits of the law in relation to salvation. The Jewish Christians of the time had certain rules that they followed. Some of them were from their Jewish heritage. For instance, the rules regarding circumcision. While this posed no problem for those who were Jewish-minded, it did mean that those uncircumcised could not or would not be saved. Seems like, in this case, the law actually excluded certain people from the grace of God and his gift of salvation to all. To some in that time period, that meant that the Gentiles could not receive God's grace, and that those who consorted with the Gentiles were now unclean. Those in Jerusalem at the time were very adamant about the need to follow the law in order to be saved. But is that what Christ taught then and still teaches us today? In our gospel reading, we find Jesus having dinner with some of the Pharisees. Along comes a sinner who recognizes the power in Jesus and washes and kisses his feet. When questioned by Simon as to why Jesus was allowing a known sinner to wash his feet, the host was showing that the law meant more to him than Jesus did. Jesus said as much when he replied, telling Simon that Simon hadn't offered him any of the same courtesies. What Jesus did next floored Simon even more. Simon and most of the other guests could not believe that Jesus told this woman that her sins were forgiven. But why couldn't they believe this? Was it because they believed that only God can forgive sin? Was it because Jesus dared to offer the sinner something that he had not offered to them? Maybe it was because they couldn't believe in the power of love and forgiveness over the law.
It was probably a combination of all three, but mostly the last one. They couldn't understand that the sinner who hadn't followed the law was given the same grace and salvation as they were to receive. But this was long ago. How does it apply to us now? Well, first, let's look at our daily lives. In our communities, who here can raise their hand and honestly say that they have obeyed continuously all of the laws? Anyone? If you've crossed the yellow line while you're driving, you broke the law. If you've sped, you've broken the law. If you've crossed the street in the middle instead of at the crosswalk, you've broken the law. In our denomination, have you obeyed and followed all of the laws? If you've bought a lottery ticket or a raffle ticket, you have broken Methodist law. In the Methodist Church, we believe that lotteries, raffles, and gambling teaches people to believe in something else other than the provision of Christ. In our faith, we have the Ten Commandments and the teachings of Jesus. Can anyone say that they've consistently followed every law handed down by God? If you've sassed or talked back to your parents, or if you've decided that sleep was more important than going to church, then you've broken the law. But what it all comes down to is the fact that if the law is the only way to salvation, then none of us are or ever will be saved, because we can't follow every law. Sure, we could add more laws, or in my garden, I could add more lines to the sprinkler system. But we end up with a very unusable system, because as I added lines to the sprinkler system, those lines covered less and less of the group of plants that needed the life-giving and loving water that would help them grow. So it would stand to reason that if I reduced the number of lines or the laws, that I might obtain my goal, because the reduced number of lines would have more effect and pressure. Thus, they would have greater coverage. That would bring us to the next question of which lines or laws do we eliminate? Well, that's a really tough one. The easy answer would be to eliminate any laws that aren't biblically based. But even using this filter would be hard to come up with the laws to keep or throw away. The greatest religious minds have separated into denominations over this. We could say that only the Ten Commandments and the direct laws given to us by God and Jesus are biblically based, so they should be the only laws. We could say that the only laws based on love, compassion, kindness, respect, and equality should be the ones that we use to judge salvation on. But as I went about solving my problem, there were a few things that I noticed. First, as I removed lines, the remaining lines gained power and coverage. I could reach and save more plants by reducing the number of lines. This was a big help, and I was encouraged by the results. Although removing some of the lines brought me closer to reaching my goal, I still couldn't reach every corner of the garden. I had three lines that were necessary, three laws, so to speak. So now what? How do I reach the untouched areas? Well, the second thing that I noticed was that I had to be more involved with those remaining lines and laws. I had to be more involved with the garden or the kingdom if I wanted to fill it with the loving, life-giving water it so desperately needed. I couldn't just set the system and walk away from it. I had to participate. I had to turn on one line for about an hour or so, occasionally checking to see that the water was getting to where it was needed, and also to make sure that I wasn't drowning or washing away plants and seeds. Then, when the saturation was right, I had to turn off line one and turn on line two, and so on. I had to be involved in the work. We can't just go to church on Sunday and set the system on autopilot. We have to be more involved in the congregation, the community, and the world. We have to love, respect, and have compassion for those around us, no matter what's going on in their lives or ours. We have to condemn less and love more. This is what threw the Pharisees off when Jesus pardoned the woman. Jesus went beyond the law to show that the power of God's love and grace and compassion was all that was needed. And he showed what true salvation was and who was covered by that salvation. Remember John 3:16? Salvation was for everyone who believed, not just those that could follow the rules and the laws, not just for the Jews, not just for the perfect people. It was for everyone. The third thing that I noticed, I didn't notice until after I had worked with the water delivery system for a while. This thing was far-reaching, yet it was also very personal and should also be personal to you. As I worked through the progression of turning on lines and turning off others, I stood there admiring my accomplishment. I walked around the garden and tried to stay out of the water spray. After a few hours of this, guess what happened? Anyone? It rained. It rained. And you're snickering, and it's kind of like the old story of washing your car and the rain comes, and here I watered the garden and the rain came. But you know, instead of laughing at it, it made me realize something else. It made me realize something very profound. It was something that I knew and I've thought of before, but something that I, and I'm sure many others, have forgotten and remembered many times over and over again in our lives. That rain covered everything. It covered the garden, the grass, the trees, the house, the tools, the car, and it covered me. It didn't just cover the garden or the kingdom, so to speak. It didn't just cover the plants that stayed within the kingdom. It covered the Gentile grass, the sinning, polluting car, the house that was designed to keep us away from the rain. It covered me, and it covered you. Both of us, who often think that we don't need to work on or in the kingdom. The rain was God telling me, don't worry. I got this and you covered with my love and compassion. Wow, what a joy that was, remembering that God has me covered and that he has you covered and everyone else covered. What a revelation and a lesson that the law will never, ever surpass or take precedence over God's love and grace. We all need to carry this lesson out into the world. We need to remember that love, kindness, grace, forgiveness, and compassion always, always trump the law and the rules. We need to learn and carry into our lives that judgment on our part for those of us not like us, for those that don't follow or know the laws of those that break the laws, is not how Christ acted, even though he had every right to judge. This judgment on our part is not what Christ wants from us as we seek to work and participate in his kingdom. He wants us to love and forgive. He wants us to show kindness and compassion. the law is not the way to bring sinners into his kingdom. For the law condemns and does not love. For if the law is the only way, then all of us are out of luck. Love and compassion are the only ways to bring sinners to Christ. It's how I came. It's how you came. I challenge you to work in the garden of God's kingdom with grace and forgiveness instead of condemnation. I challenge you to choose to go about your kingdom work with that same love and compassion instead of judgment. Come together in the reign of God's love and salvation to fill your watering cans in the spirit of Jesus' teachings and examples, so that you may carry that living and loving water out to all that you meet. Now, last night during our contemporary service, the worship leader had a bunch of great songs that he had based on the scripture reading that just fell right in. But one of them really hit me and kind of drove it home. And if you take nothing away from today other than this, this is what you want to remember. This is what you want to commit. It's a chorus to a song called Forgiven by Bethel Live. And the chorus goes like this. I am forgiven at the foot of the cross. I am accepted by the power of your love. My every stain is washed away. I am forgiven. Take note. You are forgiven at the foot of the cross. You are accepted by the power of his love. It does not say law there. It says love. Your every stain is washed away and you are forgiven. It wasn't by the law. It was by his love. When you go out with your watering cans to the world, spread that loving water, that living, loving water to everyone that you meet. I'd like to invite everyone to stand and join me in singing our closing hymn, number 365, Grace Greater Than Our Sin. about our lives. We need to take with us that living water. We come here and we put on the mantle and the cloak of the worker in the kingdom, but often when we cross the threshold, we take that coat off and leave it behind. We need to take that coat with us and use it. We need to grab that watering can and spread that loving water, that loving, living water that is needed by everyone, not just by us. Not just by those that follow the laws, but by everyone. And we need to take and work with it every day of our lives, throughout our work, throughout our play, throughout our sorrow, and throughout our joys. So as you go today, take that can with you and spread that living, loving water to all that you meet today.